prefer, Daniel or DL or?
It's all good. Yeah, DL usually is. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay, that's just. I mean, such an easy nickname because just your initials. Or is there more to the story?
Well, that just came about because on every tour I've ever done, there's always like 10 Daniels or 10 Dans, and like, and somebody from like across the venue is like Dan, and like everybody looks. It's just way easier to separate it up like that.
Oh, makes sense. Easy to.
Yeah. Nicknames.
I like that. Yeah. So new album here. I'm loving this. I just got a copy of it and got to listen to the whole thing. And it's right now. It's up there for my one of my albums of the year. I also love the new Seven Dust. But this is great because it's similar to the Seven Dust in the way that you got it, both albums are very eclectic. There's so much on this album.
Yeah. I'm such a huge fan of that new Seven Dust. The song Superficial Drug. I just been like. Yeah. If it was on a tape, that tape would not fucking work anymore. Can I swear on this?
Oh, yeah. You can fucking swear shit, cock, whatever you want to say.
Cool.
I love speaking of Seven Dust, that's cool. That's what got you the gig in Bad Wolves, right? Was like you singing a Seven Dust cover.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot, obviously, more to it. But that's like one of the first things that Doc actually heard me sing on. And I think like that's how I even got brought up. In like the grand scheme of things, I think they were like talking about like, well, who the hell are we going to get to sing? And Doc was like, yo, check this shit out. Dude from Occasion Strain did a Seven Dust cover. And then like, nobody really knew I could clean sing, but yeah. Love those guys. Love that band, man. That new record. Same, just spinning it nonstop. And in terms of like our new record being eclectic, I think that just kind of like speaks to this new version of the band, this Bad Wolves 2.0 kind of thing, where it's like, I had a lot more, to do production wise on this one. Cause we actually like, this is the first album that I've done full tilt with the band. Like when I came into the band, we just kind of hit the ground running with Dear Monsters. Like they had 50, 60% of it, like ready to go, pretty much done. So like I kind of came in on the 11th hour of that record and still got to like write some lyrics and do some stuff in studio, but it was just kind of quick, where this was like way more methodical. We wrote so many songs that didn't make the album that are still like amazing. And I don't know if they'll end up being B-sides or what, but yeah, it was a lot more methodical this time around. We were able to, just for example, at the time, Max, Doc, and John were having sessions in Vegas at Max's. And it was finally like a situation where they could send me stuff that they were working on and I could run it through my studio and I could do my thing to it and then I could send it back. It was like, it was much more of a collaborative process this time around. And I think you can hear that in the record, you know, like there's a lot of peaks and valleys and there's heavy stuff, there's soft stuff. This is really the record that we wanted to make. Thank you, man. We were trying to do this with Dear Monsters, but like we had the time to do it this time. So,
yeah, I mean, it's nothing against bands like AC/DC. I love stuff like that, but like, you know, AC/DC, an album, like a lot of those songs are going to be very sound the same, you know, whereas this song, yeah, it's like you said, there's peaks and valleys. There's, I mean, you've got the song NDA. That's a really cool groove. I don't want to spoil it, but I mean, there's a saxophone on there. Like that's, but it works. It's so cool.
Yeah. And like, that's the kind of stuff that we just wanted to do. Like, I think we talked about that and like our joke, not really joke, but like our conversation about that is like, how that even came about is like, we even talk about it now. Like Lethal Weapon doesn't have shit on that. It's like, you know, when like something blows up in Lethal Weapon and it's just like that real sassy, like sax part. And we are all huge Weekend fans. And like, so yeah, I mean, we're all huge Weekend fans, pop fans in general. And like that song just has that kind of like Weekend swing to it. So, yeah, that's part of the flavor that you'll get on the new album, you know, a little bit of that. And then there's still breakdowns. There's little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah. Cause I think what happens with that is it makes the heavy stuff sound heavier, in my opinion. I think, you know, Black Sabbath was kind of the king of this. They would have these like slow intros with acoustic or piano or whatever, and then they'd go heavy, And that's, and that made it heavier. My, whereas like some bands, you know, just come out and every song is just heavy, heavy, heavy. It's like, it doesn't, you know, you need to kind of bring it down a little bit and then kind of scare the audience, I think.
For sure. And like for us, we're all huge Meshuggah fans as well. You know, I don't know, you know, Meshuggah. And for, especially for me personally, like as much as I love that band and I've been a fan of them for forever, for decades. And, but I just really have to be like in the mood to really listen to it. You know what I mean? It's not something that you're going to listen to. I mean, maybe it will. I guess it depends on who you are, but like, you know, you just put your dog down or something and like throw on Meshuggah. There's, it's not something that you're going to like really want to listen to all the time. You got to be in the mood for that. Like really just like in your face pounding stuff. And for Bad Wolves, I think the beauty of our new record, or even like, I think their whole catalog, I think as a band, they've kind of always done this. When there is a heavy part, like you make it count, you know what I mean? And that's for sure. I feel like that's the truth on Die About It. It's like, when it happens, it's like, damn, they made that one. They made that one go the distance.
Absolutely. Well, and that's, I think it's interesting now, the music business obviously changed so much, but it's all about the single and getting a song on a playlist. And so people can listen to the singles. The singles are great, and I'm sure there'll be more. But I what I really like about this album is it really feels like an album. Like, you know, like I'm a fan of also like Guns N' Roses. Like, I really like the Use Your Illusions because it was just this whole process of like acoustic and piano and heavy, and like, and that's how this album goes. It just like, you got to listen to the, in my opinion, you got to listen to this full album from start to finish, because it's really quite a journey that's fun to take, I think.
Cool. Yeah. And that's definitely something that we took into account conceptually with this album. It's like we talked about the idea because we see how things are going. And obviously you have to like, you got to kind of play the game, right? So like, I guess a lot of people tell, I mean, we don't particularly feel this way, but some, I mean, it depends on the day that you ask us, but like, a lot of people tell you that the album format is a dying thing now. And like, and you kind of see that with so many huge artists just putting out singles and like trickling singles out leading up, I mean, for a year even or whatever, leading up to a release of an eventual like EP or whatever. And for us for now, like, and I think this is the way that the record label wants to still do it and stuff, is they're still doing the album format. So like, with that being said, knowing that we had to do an album, it's like conceptually we went through a lot of things since Dear Monsters as a band and individually. And like, I mean, you know, you see the internet. It's like this band has not been the easiest band to be a part of or for anybody. And me coming into it at the time that I did with the chaos and the legalities and just like all the crazy shit that I wasn't ever used to being in a band. Like being in a band for me was always just like, I started in hardcore bands. It was just fun. Like there was no lawyers, there was no court cases, there was no this. And like, and when you get into a band that has, it's obviously much more professional and there's more at stake, and there's just different layers to that onion in this band. And it's been tough. So conceptually, like, that gave us a lot of fuel to, especially lyrically, to write about. And I think that helped the direction of the music as well.
Interesting. Is it now, is that all that shit behind you at this point?
I mean, we like to think it is, but right the second we're like, yeah, no, it's cool now. Like something pops up. It's something every day. And I think just because of how like publicly messy, the split was with the former singer, and like just everything that like, unfortunately it went the way it went. And like, you know, it is what it is at this point. I think all of us are just kind of like reeling from it. Even like, we all just want life to be normal again. We just want the band to be normal. No drama. Right. Like we're fucking pretty over all that stuff. So like, for sure. Yeah. That's where we're at with all that.
Yeah, because I had Doc on a couple of years ago. It was like right around the time this whole thing happened. And he's like, look, I've said literally nothing about all this stuff. Like, you know, it was Tommy that was just kept saying things and saying. And Doc was like, he had kept quiet for a while. I think he finally said something after our interview. But yeah, he's been mostly, you guys have been mostly quiet. I think you guys just want to move on and you're making great.
Well, right.
So
right. Well, and that was kind of my position on everything. Like, I don't want to get too into it or anything. Yeah. It's like this kind of beating a dead horse, but that was always my position on it. It's like, you know, I don't really have anything to do with that part of the history of the band. Like, I just came in when I came in. There was an opportunity for me to be in a band again and actually sing in a band, because before I played guitar in bands. So like, this was something I always wanted to do, and the opportunity presented itself. And so I took it, and I mean, even still, like, I'm pretty chastised because of it. Like, there's a certain fan base and stuff that like hates the new singer and just can't get over that. But I mean, at this point, that's basically the ethos of the record. That's the title. It's Die About It. You know, that was the most ignorant, strongest way that we could say, like, get the fuck over it. So, you know what right. I mean? Like, yeah, like, yeah. It's like, yeah, I mean, if you can't get over it at this point, we're two albums in, like, I'm the singer of this band, cry about it. And it's like, if you're going to cry about it, you might as well fucking die about it. So we liked it, man. We came up with that in like a locker room in Europe, and it stuck. So
that's awesome. Well, yeah. And then I don't know, was this the first single or the second, the Legends Never Die song? This song is great. I feel like this could be totally used for a sports channel or like UFC. Is this about someone specifically or a combination of people?
Yeah. Well, I mean, big picture, it's about anybody. I mean, we all have legends in our lives, right? Like, it's our grandmothers, it's our fathers, it's our mothers, it's our brothers, sisters, et cetera, best friends. And I think like that sticks in my head every day. Like, and I mean, just even in normal conversation, it's like, you talk about the guy that opened the door for you. That guy was a legend. Like, you know, just simple stuff. And that stuff sticks with me. And for me, like, I told a story, the other day on TikTok or one of the social media things. And like, for me, my legend is my pops. 'Cause I mean, he's been such a cool dad to me and like brought me up so well. And he was always like the cook in my family. So like, his cooking is legendary to me. Like, there's nothing more spiritual to me or like, grounding than like breaking bread with people and like eating a meal. And like, he makes these things. I'm first generation. Both of my parents are from Poland. So like, they brought tons of recipes from Poland and stuff, from my great grandmothers, my grandmothers. So like, there's this big lineage of recipes and stuff. And my pop, since I was a little kid, he's been writing these recipes in a book, like as he makes these things that I've been eating since I was a kid that I like love. And so he has this like this handwritten family lineage recipe book that he's going to give to us when he passes away. And like, man, these recipes, and like, we're going to make them for our kids. Our kids are going to make them for their kid. Like, it's this lineage that just gets passed on. And like, when you're eating that special meal that you like make like once a year or whatever it is, you're going to talk about that person. You're going to talk about that legend that like, this is my pops. He came up with this. This was great grandma, like all of that stuff. So yeah, I think that's kind of like the grand scheme of things. Like, everybody has a legend in their life, and whatever that means to you, that's what it is. But also, when we were writing and recording that song, I couldn't help but think about one of my best friends that passed away, 3-4 years ago. And he was young, and man, he was one of my childhood friends, and that dude is a legend to me. So while we were writing the song, I couldn't help but think about him the whole time. And that stuck with me.
That's interesting. I thought it was more like, I was thinking like Eddie Van Halen and all these like musical legends that have died and famous people, but you're saying it's more like the people in your life that are the legends. That's really cool.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't, I mean, of course, to some people it's going to be about people that passed away, but like, it doesn't have to be like, we have legends in our lives every day, passed away or not. And I think that's like, we want this song to speak to everybody. Like, everybody knows who the legend is in their life. When you hear that, you're like, I'm sure something pops in your head, like somebody that you're thinking about. So, but of course, on the other side of that, like while we were tracking it and stuff, we had the same notion, like, man, this would be so sick. Like in a movie or like sports or something, like it would be a great song to be like synced like that. So yeah, for sure.
So you mentioned your dad, is he must be pretty proud of you. Like, does he come to see you with the, like a concert? Does he actually like, does he enjoy the music or is he proud, at least proud that you're?
Yeah. He's proud. He's not really a concert goer kind of guy. Like he's older and like, he gets it. Like he knows. And, I don't think he wants to get caught in the mosh at a bad wolf. Like, yeah, he's more of like, the type where I come home from a tour and I'll go have a beer with him and tell him about it. He doesn't need, or show him like some YouTube videos and stuff. Cause like, you know, he's super into the internet. Like it interests the hell out of him and stuff. So yeah, we'll pull up YouTube and watch some stuff from the, he's not a concert goer. My mother and my sister, they love going to the concerts and checking that stuff out. So.
Wow.
They're a little more on the wild side. They'll get caught in the mosh.
Okay. Awesome. So on the other side of that, the song Bad Friend, this is like the opposite theme, talking about bad friends and, you know, the lyric Bad Friends Die Alone. Is this one based on personal experience with bad friends?
Yeah. I think this was a song. It was more like, I don't want to tell the story for somebody else, but it was a favor that was done for a friend that took advantage of the person that did the favor for them, like big time. So, yeah, that kind of sparked a conversation and, cutting that friend off. I mean, like there it's definitely in a nutshell, a cautionary tale to cut toxic people out of your life for sure.
I couldn't agree with it more. Yeah, I love that. It's can make a huge difference. You know, it's hard for people to do that, especially if there's history and you don't realize like you can grow and change as a person. And then you're like, like these people didn't grow. And I feel like they're holding me down or holding me back. Or
I was just going to say, like you start to realize that you have some anchors in your life that are holding you back for sure. And that's for sure. Like what that song's about. Yeah.
Yeah, because you kind of know, I used to think like when I was in the hospital, I had my appendix out and like when you're in the hospital, you kind of figure out who your friends are real quick, but it can also be the opposite. You can have some good things happen in your life. You can have a little bit of success, something good happens to you. And then you kind of look at people's reactions and you're like, oh, you don't like seem happy for me. That's kind of weird. And that's kind of how you can tell if someone's really your friend too.
Yeah. Yeah. Those kind of situations are pretty telling who's on your team and who's not.
Exactly. Yeah. Another song that I really liked that resonated with me, I feel like this is a future single, is the song Hungry for Life. I could definitely see myself singing along to this at a concert. Explain to me the lyrics here, because it's like he hated the way he was dying, but the moment he turned on the light, he became what he dreamt of when he was young and hungry for life. That's such a great line. What is that song about?
That song is just about getting stuck in a rut. Like, and this could speak to somebody that like hates their fucking job and, doesn't feel the passion to try something new or there's a lot of situations where, I mean, I've been in it. I've worked at like a grocery store and like you have to go, you got to pay your bills. But like the whole time you're there, it's like, you feel like you're dying. You're just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, and you know that you have passion for something else and you like love something else. And that's what that song is about for sure.
Okay. That's why I resonated with, I used to work in the schools and I just hated it. And I quit and I'm so much happier. So that's a great message. And that's a great, do you think that will be a single?
I don't know. I'm not sure. We've, as far as like a third single, cause actually, no, wait, Legends Never Die. Yeah, I don't know. We didn't really get that far yet. It might be. I know that it's been talked about. A lot of people like that song collectively. So, but that song's John wrote that with his friend Seth, and like they're a great team together. And then they brought it to the band, and we kind of tweaked from there. But I love the message of that song as well. It's just like hungry for life, man. Like I felt. Like that's something that spoke to me when I joined this band. It was like such an impossible feat that when the opportunity even got like presented to me, it was like, I kind of laughed. I was just like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to be in a band again. Like, cause I gave up touring 10 plus years ago in my other band. And, but yeah, that's kind of what happened to me for sure. In a weird way, I didn't feel like I was dying, but, in a weird way, it's like, you know, you're meant for something and you haven't fully fulfilled what you're meant to do yet. So
that's interesting. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that because, I don't know if you're familiar with the band 6AM, but I had James Michael, the singer from that band on, and his path is very similar to yours. Like he was in bands and for whatever reason didn't kind of work out. And then he kind of got into production and then he had this, it was a similar kind of thing where Nikki Sixx is like, hey, we want you to be the singer. And I don't even think he was a singer or had sang in a lot of bands, but Nikki recognized the talent and boom, now he's a singer in the band. They're touring all these huge shows and stuff. So it must've been a similar kind of thing for you where you're just kind of like in the production gig. And now all of a sudden, boom, you're playing in front of huge crowds with Papa Roach. And
yeah. Yeah. It's still weird to me, to be honest with you. And like, that's exactly what happened for me. I was doing production. I stopped touring in 2010 and these guys called me and I don't even when the hell was it? It was during the pandemic when we got together. So it was a while. And all that time I was sitting on my ass in front of a computer doing production stuff, which I can't say that I don't like that because that is actually my passion is in the studio for sure. But man, you eat a lot of Taco Bell and have some weird fucking hours when you're sitting in front of a computer doing music production. And it got to me for sure. Like when I first got in this band, I was like the heaviest I ever was. It was just a weird time. Like it was like, all right guys, time to go on tour. And it's like, I was just carrying around so much extra weight. So like, I'm now getting back to like the sporty side of things. Like I'm hitting the gym every day and I'm on my own like little fitness journey. I hate that fucking term, but like I'm doing that right now. I lost 50 pounds in the past like 4 months and
congratulations.
Thanks so much. Yeah, it's funny how fast that Taco Bell comes off.
What's your order at Taco Bell when you back in the day? Now you're not eating it, but when you did eat it, what did you get?
Oh my god. So first you have to get a chicken quesadilla and add steak, so chicken and steak quesadilla. And two hard supreme tacos, two soft supreme tacos, a cheesy gordita crunch with beans, no meat, extra Baja sauce. Because I'm not a vegetarian, but for some reason, a cheesy gordita crunch with just beans on it is a banger. And definitely a large cherry Pepsi. You got to wash it all down. There's something about Taco Bell soda. I don't know if they like put extra syrup in it or something, but Taco Bell soda was always just so good.
Well, I think it's the ice too, because they have the crushed ice.
Ah, see, that's you're probably right. It keeps everything colder. There's more room for the liquid to go in between the ice, right? Is that how that works?
I don't know. Yeah. So, what do you eat now? Now that you're eating healthy, is there a certain diet that you have that you follow?
Oh, it's so boring. Monday through Friday, I eat steamed or boiled chicken, broccoli, and rice. Monday through Friday, it's the worst. It's like eating paper. But on Saturday, I have a cheat day, and it's like the best ever. Saturday, I can have my donuts. I have a local bakery over here that's they just make the most serious Boston cream you'll ever have. If you're ever in Springfield, Mass, man, you got to stop at this place called Schmura's Bakery. They just make a Boston cream donut that's like the size of your head, and there's no fucking around. Like, it's not just like just pudding or custard, like this much in the middle. Like, the whole thing is straight custard. So that's my Saturday treat. I get to have a donut and like a piece of pizza or something.
Nice. And then how does that work with on tour? Because do you still follow the strict diet when you're on tour? Cause like you guys are in different cities every night, or do you just eat on the bus, or how's that work?
Yeah, I try to it's funny because the last tour that we did, over this past summer, we did some headlining stuff for a couple weeks. And, that was the first tour that we've done that I've been on this diet. So like, it was pretty like shocking. I was just like, kind of going into it being like, oh, this is going to be easy. Like, if anything, I'll just like fast. And But yeah, it's pretty tough to be like militant about stuff on tour, like especially with the schedule you have. And it's just kind of like, you kind of like take what you can get when you get it. Cause like I can go for, like, I'll hit the gym during the day on tour, and I can go pretty late into the day, actually past showtime, before I'm like starting to get hungry. But that's pretty dangerous, because then you like play your show and you're showered up and like hanging out by like whatever 11:30 at night, and that's when like the after show pizzas start flying around and like and like the drinks start flying around a little bit. And it's like, I'm not a big drinker or anything, but like, yeah, you see the sodas in the fridge and you see these pizzas laying around and you haven't eaten all day. So yeah, it's pretty tough on tour. Yeah, but I think Chipotle is like my saving grace on tour. I can go get like a bowl during the day with brown rice and like some meat in it and stash it aside for later.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. So you talk about that tour with Asking Alexandria. I just had Sam, their bassist, on my show, and he's a really cool guy. It sounds like that's going to be a great tour.
No, we're actually not on that tour. Like last minute, it was basically the eve of the tour. We ended up pulling out of it because.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was talking about the tour that we did before that. It was in the summer. We did a headliner. It was us, For the Fallen Dreams, The Funeral Portrait, which are label mates of ours on Better Noise. That tour was fun. But unfortunately, yeah, we couldn't do the Who Asking Alexandria tour. We just ran into some like logistical things. Touring now, that's another thing. Like after not touring for as long as I did and coming back to it now, post pandemic and all this, it's pretty insane, like what the touring world looks like nowadays in terms of like rentals and just logistically keeping things profitable for your business and your band. It's so difficult, and that's unfortunately we learned that the hard way just a couple weeks ago. It's like we had a bus lined up for the tour, and last minute our bus arrangements changed, or that they fell out from underneath us. And then like on the eve of a tour, it's like when you're starting to look for a bus, it's impossible. Like we did end up finding a bus, and it was just like $100,000 more than what we had budgeted for. And these are the kinds of numbers that you're just like looking at nowadays, where you're like, touring is insane nowadays, for sure.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
People think buying groceries has changed a lot. It's like, it's changed everything.
No, that's a good point, especially with the price of gas. That's huge, because that's a huge part of the touring.
Yep. You got to take into account everything, the gas, the driver, the accommodations. Yeah. I mean, everything.
So you don't have any tours lined. So that one's canceled, and then you haven't set up a new one yet, but I'm assuming you will.
Yeah, we I think in the next week or so, we're going to be announcing, we have one in the books right now. I can't say anything about it right now, but we do have one that's going to be announced in the next week or so. And that's going to be, we're really excited about this one. That'll be before the end of the year.
Is this a package, or is this like you guys will be headlining, or is it like you're in the middle somewhere?
It's a package. We're going to be, we'll be direct support to the main act.
Okay. Do you got to get go? You have another one at 10:30?
For an interview? No. This is it for today.
Okay, good. So we keep talking.
Yeah.
I got a few more questions. Yeah, because also I want to get back to the album. There's another thing I had a question about, like the song Masquerade. That's a cool song. It's got a guitar solo. I was going to ask you, like, how do you guys decide which songs have a guitar solo and which ones don't? Because I know in the 80s, like every song had a guitar solo, but now it's kind of
mandatory.
Yeah. Now it's like, it's like, oh, it's not cool to do guitar solos. But I heard that solo, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Like I like solos.
Me too. Yeah. And I think it's just the roll of the dice. Like if it feels right, like that's our number one thing when writing music. It's just like, whatever we're going to do on any given part, it has to serve the song. So like, that just happens to be a song that has a perfect bridge section for Doc to solo over. And he wrote like some of the tastiest solos I've heard in Bad Wolf songs out of all of their catalogs on this record. And I think Masquerade's probably one of my favorite on this album too. So.
Yeah. And how do you decide for you with the vocals? Cause I mean, assuming this is you singing on all the songs, except for the song with Killboy, which we'll get to in a minute, but I mean, cause you do regular just singing and melodic singing, and then you do like screaming, kind of like a Pantera, like with a little bit of a growl, and then you do kind of like rapping, right? You do all three of those styles.
Yep, that's all me. Yeah, this was, besides Killboy, this was, there was no guests. it was something cool to like spread my wings a little bit. Like this finally felt like I said before, Dear Monsters, like I was in the band or whatever, it was all good, like we were doing our thing, but like this finally feels like this is like our record. Like I feel like this record like solidifies my position in the band. Not that it wasn't before, but it feels like it does now, just because we got to try new things, i.e. like trying different vocal styles and like all that stuff. So yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then you'll also be playing rhythm guitar on this tour, right? Unless you guys are going to add somebody.
We have, I don't even know if I can talk about it, but we have a new guitar player. But yeah, he's really sick, and he's a sweetheart, and he's a friend of ours. And but with that being said, like there's tracks that I may start putting a guitar on live, just because it's fun. Like even Bad Friend, in the video Bad Friend, I played guitar in that, and it just felt like the old days, man. Just throw a guitar on, and it was just different, because I never like sang and played guitar at the same time, so like that was a little different. But yeah, we're just kind of pulling out all the stops, man. There's no rules. We don't care. Like, we just want to have fun and make art. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, it's very cool. Well, and so I did want to ask about that song with Killboy. Explain who that is. That's a cool song. It's got like an acoustic guitar and kind of a drum beat. It's more poppy, but I really like that song. It's called It's You, 2 Months.
Yep. So this is a song that started off. There's like that little acoustic intro thing. Mm-hmm. I think John ended up. Funny enough, I think that actually made the record, that's an iPhone recording of something that he was just like messing around with. And we ended up, you know, bringing it into the studio and getting some production behind it and stuff. But that original riff is just John like riffing out on an iPhone mic. and Killboy was actually his suggestion as well. We cut that song. I cut the whole song vocally by myself first, and then like upon like many listens throughout our camp and management and stuff, I think it was like a kind of a collective suggestion that that'd be a cool song to do a female guest vocal. And like we were all just racking our brains, because there's so many good female singers out there, and Killboy was one of John's friends, and he was like, check this out. I had never heard her personally before. And he showed me her solo stuff that she does on her own, and her voice is so sick. And then so she cut the song. I think she tracked it on her own, sent it to our producer Joseph, and he just kind of like, before he even went in and mixed it, he plopped it in and sent us the version of like kind of my vocal A, her vocal B, and then like stacks of me and her, and like her voice and mine worked so fucking good together that it was just like, yep, go. We love that. So we mixed it, and that's where we're at. And we got 2 months. And then that was actually funny enough that it's like, It's You is kind of like the hook, the post chorus hook. But in parentheses, like it's titled 2 months, because John sent me that acoustic little snippet. I was on a walk with my wife and kids. Like the day before I was leaving for a 2.5 month Europe tour with Bad Wolves and Volbeat. And man, like it just hit me in the feels. Like it made me cry a little bit. Like no bullshit. And it just made me think about like how much I'm going to miss my family for the next 2.5 months. And so it ended up being like the AKA 2 months title. That's how that came about.
Yeah, that's a cool song. Now, what happens, I guess it would be a good problem to have, but what happens if that song becomes a massive hit? Because how do you perform it live unless you're going to bring a guest vocalist with you on tour, or a different one in every city, or just use pre-recorded vocals?
Yeah, I mean, we could do any and all of the above, I guess. You know what I mean? Like I said, there is a version of me singing the whole way through. which like could be released as a B-side or something. And yeah, we could do, or that would be really fun to do too. Like if it was a headliner and we had time to like bring people on stage to do these kinds of things, we could make it a contest or something and be like, who wants to come sing Killboy's parts with us? Or if we're playing a festival or something with Killboy, we can do the real deal. So that'd be sick too.
Yeah.
Lots of options.
Is she pretty big? Like I had never heard of her before, but yeah, it was the same. Like she made me a fan with this song.
Yeah. I don't really know too much of her story to be able to even tell it, but, she should be, she's got an incredible voice and, she's got a really cool, like persona. She's got, the purple hair and yeah, she looks cool as fuck. Sounds great. So she should be up there with Rihanna and all them.
Yeah, there's just so much talent out there. It's interesting with the streaming and everything. I know people get mad, but I think it's cool because you could find all this talent that before, you know, it's like, oh, this person's not on a major label, so like you can't ever discover them. But now you can find, it's just hard to sort through it all because there's so much.
The internet, man. Yeah, that's how it is nowadays. It's like I get really discouraged, to be honest with you. It's pretty frustrating when you like hop on YouTube for, you start going down the rabbit hole and there's just like 9-year-old kids that are just smoking you at everything you do that you've been working on since you were a kid. It's just the way of the world, man. Where we live in now.
It's crazy. Well, yeah, the TikTok and all that. It's so, but that stuff too, you see kids who are really, or people on TikTok who also do like comedy and stuff, but like they've never performed stand up ever, or, you know, same thing with the guitar. They play guitar in their bedroom, but they've never performed live. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah. But like most of the time, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, who knows, but more often than not, I feel like those kids end up coming out of their bedrooms and like going and playing a show live and it's even better. So what are you going to do?
Well, I mean,
we got to learn, man. So we got to learn from the youngins now.
Yeah. Well, there's not, I mean, you obviously have a lot of talent. I mean, you sing and you're singing three different styles of singing. You're playing guitar. Do you play drums too?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, like when I'm writing a song or I'm trying to think of a riff or something, more often than not, the beat comes in my head first. Or like if I'm tracking with like a virtual kit or something, I'll lay down the drums first so I have my like foundation, and then I'll play riffs over that. Yeah, but I'm definitely like a percussive thinker.
Interesting. Sure. I mean, it sounds like you work so hard. Is this true? You only sleep 3 or 4 hours a night? How is that even possible?
Dude, for the longest time when I was doing production and studio stuff full time, probably even less than that. Like I had such an awful, unhealthy sleep schedule, but now because I'm on my fitness journey and like I'm realizing like sleep is so important, and that's such a big part of your health as well. Like I know there's like a lot of guys out there, I think The Rock or something, like he's like, I sleep 2 hours, like I go to bed at fucking 10 and I'm up at 3 a.m. lifting already or something like that, like whatever it is. And I don't know, man, I've come to realize I still don't like sleep crazy like 8-9 hour nights or anything, but like I take it more seriously. I used to get like 2 hours a night, 2 to 4. Wow. Yeah, but well, now I'm like a 5 to 6.
Okay.
No, back then I did not. No, I was.
Do you take naps at all? Like power naps or?
Not really. Nope. Yeah, no. But like I said, now I get like 5 to 6, so I'm much more regular.
I don't know how you survive on 2 to 4. That's insane to me.
Caffeine and boiled chicken.
Yep. Well, it's working. I mean, you look great. You look young. I don't know how old you are, but you look super young. So that's good.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, so
I am long in the tooth and I still wish I had hair, but what are you going to do? You can't have it all, right?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I'm excited for people to hear this new album. And then it sounds like there's some things to announce, a new tour and a new guitar player. So people should stay tuned for that. Anything else to announce here?
No, it really, I just want to say thanks for having me on. And if anybody has a chance, go to cottonsouthie.com for more information on an organization that I just started to learn about. It's called Legends Never Die, actually. And it's a powerful local South Boston charity, and it has a strong legacy of providing critical support to our nation's heroes, past, present, and future, ensuring that they're cared for, respected, and appreciated for their sacrifices. So this is a nonprofit organization that ensures that veterans, past, present, and future, are taken care of. And I think it's super cool and super responsible. And yeah, for more information on that, go to cottonsouthie.com.
Okay, but cool. Other than that, in the show notes, along with Bad Wolf's website. And dude, I think I'm gonna order a Bad Wolf's either shirt or sweatshirt. You guys have like some of the coolest merch and logos and cool. I don't know who designs that stuff, but it's some of the best out there. It's amazing.
Cool, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, actually, my wife designed the Die About It album art. So like that golden apple, the poison apple that's melting and stuff. Yeah, she worked
on that. Badass.
Yeah, man. She's a very talented artist. And I think if you wait, I don't know if what's going on with like the pre-orders and stuff with the new album, but I know that there's like a really sick hoodie that has that gold skull, that melting gold skull from the Bad Friend single art that's going to be coming out and stuff. It's pretty hard. So
okay,
I want to wait for that one. Yeah, there's some cool stuff coming out. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's very cool. And I'll definitely try to catch you guys on tour. I think last time you were here in Phoenix, I think you might have done an outdoor show or one of the times, and I was like, I can't do an outdoor show in the summer. I'm just too old.
Too hot.
But I will do the show. I don't know if I'll be in the mosh pit like your mom and sister, but I would be in the back. You know,
I don't blame you. Stuff.
Cool.
I'll bring you some boiled chicken.
Okay. All right. Thanks, DL.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the full podcast episode. Please help support our guests by following them on social media and purchasing their products, whether it be a book, album, film, or other thing. And if you have a few extra dollars, please consider donating it to their favorite charity. If you want to support the show, you can like, share, and comment on this episode on social media and YouTube. And if you want to go the extra mile, you can give us a rating or review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. Finally, make sure you're subscribed to the show on YouTube for the video versions and other exclusive content. We appreciate your support. Have a great rest of your day and shoot for the moon.